Drinking this album, listen to the booze. I think it would pair well, if only for you. Cause it's album or booze. It's album or booze.
Hello, cowboys, and welcome back to Album or Brews, the stickiest music podcast. Well, there ain't nobody in my room tonight except my cat. My name is Sarah.
After this whiskey, my pupils are going to be wider than a backhoe tire. My name is Zach.
And you might know me. I think I've met you all. You might have known me before as the feeling you get when someone doesn't complete a high five. My name is Ryan. I also go by Jenny, and I'm in background character.
Yes! Ooh. Welcome, Ryan, to the show.
It's so nice to be here. This couch is comfy.
It's a good couch. Yeah, Ryan, I was about to sound like such a stalker. I was about to be like, we found out about you through fellow friends of the pod. Okay, cool.
Oh, I thought you'd be like, well, we've got some tweets we want to go over.
We found your high school yearbook.
Oh, no.
And that would be psychotic. But Background Character is, if you don't know about them, a really fun fucking band here in Chicago or Essex or Omaha or wherever they say they're from.
True.
One of the most entertaining live sets I've been to. Ryan, would you tell the folks a little bit about Background Character?
Sure. Background Character is a band that I'm in. Like, the creative force so far has just been me and my friend John, who drums and sings. We do like all the songwriting, and our friend Stephanie plays bass when we do live shows. We might involve her with the writing going forward. I mean, we're working on the third album right now, and it's really fun and exciting. The only thing that motivates me really, it's like ironic that a lot of people like us for the live shows, because like the only thing that really keeps me motivated is the new music. But I feel really good because I'm working on it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. We're a little three-piece band. The name came from, like, I wanted to, like, I was salty. I was like, people don't really give a fuck. Like, and we're just background characters. But like, it's also like a way to humble myself. Like, I don't know. Even when I'm upstairs, like up on stage in my most solipsistic state, just like really reveling in who I am and these people that have to listen to my art for half hour to an hour. You know, I could just be like the background to someone's breakup happening back in the bathroom or by the merch table. I don't know. Keeps me humble, but also reminds me that I'm salty.
It's also from a little cartoon phrase, right? That's in one of your albums.
Yeah. There's a, we heard about that actually after the fact.
I was going to ask, yeah, did that come before or after? So after.
After. Yeah. And when I heard that, I was like, yeah, we got to put that on the album. But
what cartoon is that? I can't place it.
I don't know. It's our.
It's like regular show or something.
Yeah. Well, actually, our drummer, John, his older brother, Yuli, found it while watching an anime.
Oh, okay.
So it's from some
it's
anime.
A little anime, too. Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but he sent that little clip to John, and John said to me, I'm like, okay, well, there's an intro.
That's fantastic.
If I come back from this alive, will you marry me?
Hold on, don't say something like that! It's a guaranteed death flag!
There's no way I'd get killed off like that. I'm the hero in your story.
Stop it! You may be the hero in my story, but out in the world, in the grand scheme of things, you're just a background character!
Per our drummer John, if you hear a sample in an album, it's usually an anime. We started out as like a weebcore band.
Nice.
I think there's one non-anime sample, and it's from American Psycho.
Perfect.
Which he also picked.
Now that I think of it, you could actually get knuckle tattoos that say weebcore.
Ooh.
Is there something there?
I'll have to tell him. We'll send you a pic when he gets that done, inevitably.
Perfect. Amazing.
Real fast before we get into the next bit, Ryan, where can folks find Background Character on the internet?
All the social medias, I think. We're on all of them. Most of them, it's Background Character Band. Instagram's where it's popping the most. I literally do not know how to use or even open TikTok.
That's fair.
Twitter's fun, though. Twitter is, I go on Twitter when I'm like stoned or like having a mental breakdown. So that's where you get like the real Background Character on filter. Background Character Band, baby.
Hell yeah, go check that out. And then what are we listening to today and sipping on?
I picked the album Purgatory by Tyler Childers. And since he's a man from Eastern Kentucky, I decided to drink Kentucky bourbon on the rocks with my wonderful hosts here.
Yay!
Cheers, let's everybody.
Get into that. Cheers.
Cheers.
This is going to be a clinky episode.
Mm-hmm. Evan Williams, to be specific. And also, I was going to ask if I could smoke in here to really channel the essence, but I feel like I didn't know it was going to be an apartment. So
smoke what?
I was going to say cigarettes.
Yes, cigarettes. If I smoke weed, this podcast would not be entertaining.
We always, like, I feel like we've been debating for, like, 3 years now when we're going to do a weed episode, because we never have.
Yeah. I think I'd be so bad at it.
What would that be called?
Album reboofs.
Oh, you're so ready with that.
About this. Yeah.
That's the best one you could have picked, too.
Well, Reblunts. Reblunts is good, too.
Oh, Reblunts. Yeah. Reblunts is good. Yeah, but I think Zach and I would just both be real stupid.
Just, like, forget your recording. Just, like, watch TV. Like, oh, shit, this is on.
You know what? That could be, like, a Patreon bonus episode exclusive.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Is we, like, take an edible and just watch Roku City for half an hour.
Oh, man.
That sounds like my kind of Friday. I don't know about you.
We're watching Roku City right now for the listeners at home.
Yeah.
You should join us.
Moneyball, right? That's the one with the statistics. Yeah. Can I tell you guys something I found out last week?
Yes, please.
Not everyone has the same Roku City.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mine looks different from yours.
Yeah.
Mine's more purple.
I think mine's better.
Well, you're entitled to your incorrect opinion.
I'm going to have to agree with him only because I haven't seen yours, and it would have to be really good to top this one.
That's
pretty
true.
Good.
This
Scott.
One's pretty sick. Before we get into the track list, Ryan, I think Zach and I are both... This album sounds nothing like the music that you currently make. We're so curious, like, why this was the album that you chose and sort of what the heart is behind it.
I intentionally wanted to pick an album that sounded nothing like us.
Swag.
And... I'm actually kind of going through like a not really listening to music phase right now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've been like in bands since I was 13 years old. This is literally half my life. And, you know, I'm not burned out. I don't want to throw in the towel, but I'm just like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
And so I've been like, when I do listen to music, especially the past couple years, I intentionally go for like sounds that are like things I haven't explored. And I mean, I mainly listen to rap, but I was like, I don't know if people want to listen to like a white girl from the country talk about a rap album. So I picked a country album because I love country music too. And this one's probably my favorite. And it's the one that got me into country. Cause like everybody like shits on country and, you know, to a reasonable extent, like it's rightfully earned. Like the Nashville like stadium pop shit is, you know, it's stadium pop shit.
Yeah.
Which whatever, if that's what you're trying to do, but a lot of like music connoisseurs like us here don't really go for that often. But I was like, I mean, there's got to be like underground country or like even just good country out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I think I just found like a YouTuber who like mentioned a bunch of artists, and Tyler Childers, he like played a couple clips of one of his songs, and his voice, I was like, what is that? And so I checked out this album and I still love it. I feel like, I mean, I live in Chicago, the third biggest city in America. So every now, like I'm just saturated with city life and city living. And every few months, I grew up in the country, and I'm like, every few months, I'm like, I need to go like where I can't hear anything. And
I feel that.
And when I start to feel that, I like start to crave country music at the same time, because that's what my mom used to play. And this is just me finding my own. And like, I don't know, there's a few artists I enjoy, and Tyler was the first one. He's like kind of my gateway into like good kind of more underground country music, even though he's a mainstream artist. But
well, he doesn't get a lot of radio play, which I always found interesting. Did you read that?
I don't know that, but I knew he's like obviously like at the height of his career now. So far, I mean, people like his voice. He has a good voice. But he just put out an album last week, and it's like a triple EP. But it's like the same 8 songs done in 3 different styles. And so I checked out one of the set of 8. I don't know. The thing is, like, people are like, oh, he changes sounds. Like, that's not selling out. Like, he's doing some crazy experimental shit.
Yeah, he's not.
With all of this label money.
Yeah.
And, you know, I respect it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a pro strat.
And, like, in the country movement, he put out, like, he put out like another EP that was like all traditional like bluegrass fiddle music. And like the proceeds of it were going towards Black Lives Matter, and a lot of his fan base tried to cancel him for that because it was a country fan base, like a Red State Festival fan base. And I was like, ballsy, sick.
Yeah, because
country is more than just like trucks and incest and blah blah blah, and there's like a lot of like, I don't know, being from the country, you know, I went to high school with like a lot of kids who would like bring their big rig trucks with Confederate flags to school. I'm like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And I wrote a song called In Breadnecks back when I was in my yeah. punk band, and I was like mad at it. Then I took acid and thought about other people that aren't me, and like a lot of like redneck hating is like classist, and so I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna embrace my roots rather than like run from them, and I just got into country, and Tyler's the one who got me into it.
I love that.
That's great.
Yeah, the bourbon's got me rambling, so.
What part of the country did you grow up in?
I'm not, like, from some holler. I'm from, like, northern Illinois.
Oh.
I'm from, like, a little over an hour away from Chicago, where the suburbs kind of end. It looks
Pretty country, though.
Yeah.
You get too far from Chicago, and it is cornfields.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I joke with my friends. I'm like, I live in Roscoe Village. That's the suburbs. Like, there's, like, technically spaces between the buildings, and it's just, like, safe and quiet. Like, it doesn't feel too, like, I don't know, not what I picture when I picture, like, urban living, but...
Yeah, the buildings only go three up. They don't go four or
five. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I'm not, like... from the backwoods, but I'm from like the edge of the suburbs and the backwoods.
Okay.
And I think the culture leaned a little more towards, I mean, I grew up going to rodeos and shit.
Yeah, so I grew up in the backwoods.
I was gonna say, as someone who's like from pretty bumfuck,
right, Missouri.
What's your relationship with country music?
I see why like older people like it, because it is really predictable and really easy and really soothing a lot of the time. Yeah.
Or I guess like country music as most people think of it.
Yeah. It is interesting, like the things we'll talk about, like the lyricism in this album, just like how different country life is than living in the big city.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's night and day. It's like two Americas.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I swear to God, if we don't get into this album,
hey.
Right fucking now.
She's got puns for days.
Hey, come on, segue. This album is so fun. And it opens... kind of introducing like this character.
This is a party album.
That's one way to put
one,
it.
One of you just said basically concept record. One of you just said party music. Like,
he's talking a lot about a party. And
I can see a little bit of both in here. What's the character being? Is he?
Well, I don't know. I don't necessarily mean like we're talking like Welcome to the Black Parade. Like there's this young person in every single song, but like. I feel like throughout this album...
the concept is that it's country music.
What if country music?
I feel like a lot of the time, Tyler's painting this picture of like this Appalachian man who like swigs moonshine and like digs in the mountains and like, you know, is really living that Appalachian life.
He's
and
putting on some different hats.
Totally. Exactly. See, I didn't know like if it was like autobiographical or not.
I didn't know either.
I assumed it was.
I don't think he really killed a man in the mountains.
I don't know.
We sing our secrets in our lyrics.
Yeah.
That's a great line right there.
Thank you.
Write that down, write that down. But this is where I grabbed my line from, because I had to go look up what a backhoe was, because I'm not that country. Do you guys know what a backhoe is?
It's some kind of farming
Wisconsin.
Equipment.
We have agriculture. I know what a backhoe is.
It's a big tractor with a giant wheel on the back. Yeah. So.
His pupils are wide because he's been snorting uppers all day.
Yeah,
this album like starts with just a lot of like... simultaneously like very backwoods country, but also kind of like there's a lot of rejection of typical like country values. Which I found really interesting through all of, I mean, we'll get to it, but there's like a song about reincarnation and like the Big Bang Theory. Like it's just stuff you don't really
hear
from like what sounds like a pretty traditional kind of bluegrass country album. But, like, in this song, he's like, this band's too loud for their Bible thumping. It's going to be so hard not to put on an accent this entire episode.
I don't know much about folk. Do you two either? Because I kind of feel like the lyrics might be drawing from folk music as well, right?
Oh, I would imagine.
In a sense, yeah, it's a little more like confessional. Like country music, like you said, it's like more, it's like those country values. Right. It's like, like she's like pretty, she prayed to Jesus. And like, I don't know, right. He touches on religion in a couple songs, which is, you know, there's a nuanced way to do it. And right. I think he does.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, he's also like half of his songs are like, I was drunk and on cocaine. And I'm like, well. And that's the good kind of country. Like yeah. that's like the people like, there's like, I don't know, there's bad country where it's like just used to like sell like Wrangler jeans and yeah. shit like that. Makeup, and like beer. Yeah. yeah. And then there's also shit that's just like confessional, like poor rural people singing about their real experiences. And,
yeah.
This seems to be more of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, that kind of blends the line between folk, like you were saying. But I don't know. I enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of this album feels like kind of like therapy session.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that I very much enjoyed.
Yeah, there's some acoustic-only versions of these songs, and I think they hit better than the full band versions.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Just because they feel way more intimate and way more... like one definition of folk music is to say like music that people just made for each other without like a music industry selling it to them. Kind of like how we experience most never music. Yeah. Like folk music and early blues and stuff was all like a folk music. I'm doing parentheses with my hand for there. It's just like a music before the music industry got involved. Yeah. So when it's just acoustic too, it feels really human. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I think human is a good word for this album.
And I think this was like, the album that kind of made him big after a while. But like before this, I think a lot of his like live sessions and touring, he was probably doing by himself. So that's probably where he found a lot of those acoustic stripped back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he didn't have a band. I mean, I think he's always had a band. They're called the Food Stamps, I think. His live band is called the Food Stamps. So.
It's like the Food Stamp yeah. band.
Tyler Childers and the Food Stamps.
Yeah.
For the people, by the people.
Yeah. And I know one of the guys has been there since the beginning, the bassist, or at least it's what it, I don't know. I didn't look up too much lore, but he's in all the old videos yeah. and the new ones. But yeah, there is like a lot of that stuff where I'm, and just like, I don't know. I know if I was doing this kind of music, I would do solo tours and solo sessions.
Yeah.
Because I was in like a folk project before and I did that by myself.
Very cool.
I feel like that's kind of what you were saying about like bluegrass and singing from your experience is very important context for this album. I was like doing ye olde Wikipedia digging and like you said, this is his breakout album. Like this is kind of what launched him into the Tyler Childers that you would see, the Grammy nominated, the label money. Even know that. Yeah, Grammy nominated. Good for him. I know, it's huge. And when you look at his background, like very like Eastern Kentucky, like his mom was a nurse
and his dad was a coal worker.
Yeah,
wow.
Like
yeah.
Just it just all of it feels like such real shit.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I really appreciate.
You can't really phone that in, and that's I think what makes it different from other country music for me and for his fans. And he's obviously not the only one doing that, but he was the first one I found.
Yeah.
Can we talk about country guitar solos real fast?
Oh my god, yes sir.
I love a good country guitar solo.
This is a pro guitar solo podcast through and through and through.
I've seen a couple country bands live and like the lap guitar is such a fun instrument. I wish it would cross genres more often.
The only time I've seen it outside of country music is they're a Chicago band. Have you heard of Meth?
No, that's a great name.
I've like seen the band Meth like on a set list and been like, that's a choice.
They are like intense experimental, I don't know, some kind of metal. There's like a lot of subgenres. I don't really know what to classify them as.
Wait.
But they have a guy who's playing like a lap steel, but it's like distorted. Oh. He's just like beating it. I'm like, yo.
I bet that hits. I bet that slaps.
I've seen them live. They're really good.
Cameron, can you confirm or deny whether or not you've recently mixed this band?
Can confirm. Meth goes hard. I've seen Seb bleed on stage.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I have to say about this first song, I Swear to God, is that it works as an intro track just because of that cute little fiddle intro.
Yes, she was playing it.
I feel like I just like woke up on like a sunny Appalachian mountain and there's like, yeah, yeah.
Something about sipping whiskey.
Yeah, you're on the fiddles. Fiddle. Yeah. There's going to be a freaking refill really between every amazing. Song at this point. Yes. I forgot that I can put it back. Yee!
Only had a couple drinks last night and a few good hits from an endless pipe. I must admit I had a few white lines and I don't know what all happened.
I woke up. We used to know how to square dance. That's how from the country I am. I would square dance the shit to this.
Really?
Awesome.
Was that like part of your gym class? Or was that just life?
No, we did that like in the church. The church put that together.
Wow.
Did you have that in your gym class?
Well, I ask because in my gym class, one of the years, we did have like a dance part of the syllabus.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We didn't square dance.
Did you guys do Thriller?
No. What we did was my gym teacher would just Google YouTube videos of Just Dance, the video game.
Oh.
And like
you
put it
play
on a projector.
Just Dance, but without the pad?
Without like the Wii remote.
Bro.
It would just be a whole class.
Oh my God, bro.
How do you know how good you're dancing? There's
exactly.
No score.
Everyone's winning. I actually legitimately. Well, that's funny. I thought you were. Speaking from real life experience, I did have a square dancing unit. Yeah.
Amazing.
It was fun. I was like, ooh, I'm touching elbows with a girl.
Boot scoot boogie.
I was pretty good.
Well, yeah, that's like the one part of gym class where it's like, oh, yeah.
But my parents have friends. They go like square dancing with these friends. And this guy like puts on a cowboy hat and he has like a mustache bigger than time. Oh, and he like bows to the lady. It's like,
oh my God.
So yeah.
Can we get him on the podcast?
Yeah, send him a request email.
Amazing.
Shout out to Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn.
So this track is like the track. The next one.
I was shocked. Well, okay. Zach, you kind of mentioned earlier, like, Tyler Childers does not get, like, at least in my sphere of existence, a crazy amount of radio play. And so when I went to his Spotify page, like, I was not familiar before we knew this was an album pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I see 224 million, like, listens
on this song.
Mm-hmm. I was like,
and I've never heard of this man. You know what I mean? Like,
I was like, this guy fucks.
This was like the snippet I heard that made me want to check him out was from this song.
Yeah.
And this is his bopper. This is his big one. It's just like, I don't know. Like, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's suburban or his songwriting abilities.
He sprinkled
but
a little bit of magic.
I got like
one.
That smile where you can feel the wetness in the corner of your eyes.
You're like twiddling your little toes listening to this.
It's just a good, like, country love song, I guess, you know, it's a good song.
Absolutely.
That's where country really shines and kind of like this melancholy, sad kind of, that's where country music can really hit.
Yeah. And the thing is like, it's not like it's a little cheesy, but it's not like a formulaic run of the mill country love song.
It's not on the nose at all. Uh-uh. It's very like poetic.
And he also just talks about like the country love song is like I said earlier, like, oh, she's beautiful and praise Jesus.
Yeah.
But like this one's like, I think it's like a lyrics, like, if I known she was as religious, I wouldn't have came stoned to your house.
What did you read into why the belt buck, the Indian, feathered Indian is impressed into her skin?
Well, I assume they're like dry humping or fucking.
What? No, she's too religious, so they just spent the night cuddling.
Oh wait, that's so wholesome.
Yeah. So it's just the love song about just cuddling with a girl. Who?
You're making me like this album even more. Yeah. Like what?
And so when she woke up,
the belt buckle, because it's like the Indian from like a cigarette company, not American Spirits, something else.
Sure.
But yeah, that's the belt buckle he had.
Wow.
And it's pressed into her skin.
That is so chaste and wholesome.
Just
it's
so good. Yeah.
And then like the song, it's like the song before he's like, I almost overdosed on cocaine. And then this one, he's like, I'm good to just cuddle, baby.
I'm snuggly.
And like, you know, that's me. Those are my two sides.
Yes. Like, okay, baby, you can be the big spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm with the homies, I'm getting the Pulp Fiction needle in my chest. Yeah. When I'm with my lover, combing her hair and asking her if she needs any TLC.
here's some of the lines that are great. If I knew she were religious and I wouldn't have come so stoned to a house of such an angel, too fucked up to get back home. So he's messed up.
Yeah,
but she's too Catholic.
Yeah. You know what I love about this fucking album? And we'll run into this like several times. He is so sweet to the ladies that he loves.
Yeah.
Consistently. There were so many lyrics where I like went to genius.com and read it. And I was like, and who?
Yeah, right.
This well, is so sweet.
Another thing that when I checked him out and started like him and start to like country music, I was like, country music, surprisingly, unproblematic fave right
yes,
here.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. Like he's singing this song and he's like, I go running through the thicket, careless through the thorns, just to hold her for a minute.
Which is
leave me wanting more.
So country.
It's so
thicket.
Like
thicket.
What are the What's hard things thicket? Country people can do? Run through thorns.
Okay, Briar Rabbit. Like
I haven't seen a thorn in 7 years. That's how long we've been.
Well, and here's the thing: it's like if I don't know who's a popular country guy. Who's the guy that like hosts The Voice or whatever the fuck? But anyway, if that guy or if like a Jason Aldean or Tim McGraw type sang this lyric, you'd be like, all right, dude, you live like in L.A. Mm-hmm. and you're singing songs for like people who like are at a level of poverty you've never faced or you haven't in several decades. But like coming from him, like I know that's real lyric.
Like, yeah, that's yeah. Sweet.
Like, I don't know what thicket is, but I've traversed rural landscapes to hang out with high school girlfriends in my childhood. and I guess that's why this song hits so hard.
Yeah.
I just remember, like...
Real shit.
You couldn't hang out and, like, make out at your parents' house. We would go into the woods.
You gotta go in, like, a cornfield.
Yeah, that's... me and who?
Risking poison ivy just for exactly. a smooch.
Exactly.
Can I propose a pee break real quick?
Oh, sure.
Amazing.
Sure.
Blake Shelton.
That's it was Blake it was. Shelton.
Yeah, that's yeah. the guy.
Host of The Voice, sexiest man alive circa 2018 or something. I don't know.
According to
People
Someone.
Magazine, probably. Whoever does it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Someone with not very good eyesight.
Yeah. Get owned. This is a Blake Shelton call out post.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on to Album Reviews to settle the score.
If we got Blake Shelton on Album Reviews, I'd probably shit my pants.
I thought you were going to say shit on him. Just be like, get him on the show. And do
like it's a dick, like a secret roast.
Do like a Dick's Last Resort to him.
No, Blake. It's safe here, honey. Come on the show.
We give him like a big ass paper hat that says like I get off to narwhals or some shit.
Real Eric Andre vibes. Just really fuck with him.
Yeah.
One of us like throws up on the coffee table. Yeah.
Someone falls out the ceiling.
Roscoe falls out the ceiling.
No animals were harmed in the making of this make-believe podcast with Blake Shelton.
It was a breakaway ceiling with a mattress underneath.
Yeah.
Stunt double. It's a person. It's just a furry.
It's just someone in a morph suit.
We need a furry / stuntman for this next episode of Album or Brews.
Yes.
Now taking applications.
Let's like make a Craigslist post. So,
well, I mean, we'll get someone. I don't know if they'll be qualified.
Do you think Blake Shelton? No, this is going to be forced to sell. I was going to say, do you think Blake Shelton has any tattoos?
Does he?
Do you think Blake Shelton's ex-girlfriend has any tattoos with the name Blake Shelton on it?
God,
like a
be...
big tramp stamp of Blake Shelton.
I kind of want to get Blake Shelton.
So it's like his face and his name underneath.
Right so up on there.
I didn't want to get into my dating history on the podcast. No, I didn't even realize you're doing a segue, but yeah, the next song's called... I thought it was an earnest question. I was like, I don't know.
See, that's how good the segue is.
Yeah, you're so good at those.
A couple years of practice.
Yeah.
You got it down.
A couple swigs of Evan Williams.
The next song is called Tattoos.
Yes.
It's a great burn.
It's like a breakup song? I'm really looking at these lyrics now. Yeah, and it's more like post-breakup song vibes.
Yeah.
She got a new man vibes.
Yeah.
Like, she's long gone.
It's kind of a burn. He's kind of burning her.
Really?
I think so, because they're broken up, but his name is still tattooed on her.
It feels like simultaneously like a self-burn and a little bit of like a...
It's like, I suck, but you dated me.
Right.
Yeah. But who's the real loser here?
I don't have Sheila on my arm.
This is a catch-22.
There's some lyricism that's like, the past is fading like a tattoo fades. And so it's kind of implied, I think, that there is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I didn't even realize that before.
It definitely seems like the premise of the song is like sort of wistfully thinking about this person that you were in a relationship who I guess, tattooed your name on them and the relationship has ended. Mm-hmm. And so now he's saying all this shit like, I'm the one she left. I'm her used to be, quote unquote. That's got to be a weird feeling, huh? Like knowing if I knew there was someone out there with like Sarah in a heart after we broke up, I would feel weird about that.
I think I would raise a toast to Boolean Rye with Whiskey Kills All Things and Times.
Yeah, I just saw that there too. That's a good one. Yeah, I didn't pay attention. I mean, this is one of the songs. It's not a skipper, but it's not one that it's not one of my favorites. So yeah. I never even noticed that it was like the name was literally tattooed. Yeah.
It's not. It's like kind of implied. Okay. I don't know 100% if that's true.
If that's true, shout out to Tyler Zach.
Yeah.
I hope you got another like cover up, or maybe you don't fuck it. Roll with it.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna pull up this clip from a live session of his,
sure,
where he sort of talks about how, like, it's not always a great move to have the name of someone you're in a relationship with tattooed on you. Mm. And if you do that, there's kind of only one way, if you break up, that you could kind of come back from that in his mind.
Oh, I'm excited to hear what he says. Yeah.
So let me go.
This is a man of Appalachian wisdom.
He's so smart.
My mother was always a big advocate that you don't get people's names that you're in a relationship tattooed on your body. So now I don't know what's going to happen. That's expensive to get rid of. And I always thought about that. I've seen different ways to get rid of it. You know, you got like Betty, you know, lying through her name, and Beatrice, and lying through her name, Debbie, as far as people. And then you got, you know, cover-up jobs. I figured the cheapest way, if I was to ever get Sonora's name tattooed on my body and then she broke my heart into pieces, the cheapest way would just be go in and get a little tombstone. Oh.
The cheapest way, if you and this person break up and you have someone's name tattooed on you, is just to go back to the tattoo artist and get a little tombstone around the name.
You tried.
Do you know what the last stanza of the song
yes.
is? Then that's okay.
So, at the end of the song...
I picked this album. Who picked
this? At the end of the song, he sings, "I'm now an old headstone."
And it shows that clip.
Yeah. And so it sort of implied that like this person has tattooed his name on them and they've broken up. And they like took his advice and got a little headstone around his name because I guess this person is dead to this person.
R.I.P. to us, babe.
R.I.P. girl.
That's such a great line.
Wow.
I think that
in that
so
context
funny.
Is so good.
I think
good.
That's very sage advice.
Yeah,
this song is like a lot kind of fun. Okay, this is making you guys. I don't know if I've said it on the mic or have been one of our like many refill or pee breaks because we're just tearing through the Seven Williams. But you guys are making me like this album more than I already did.
And good.
Yeah, I thought this was just kind of like a Mr. Brightside, like, oh, she got a new man, wah, kind of song. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it's good, but like, yeah, I don't care. But it's actually kind of funny.
It's,
kind of
funny. It's a good burn. It's a sick burn.
It's a sick burn.
It's really funny.
That was my note about this
song.
Dude, his songwriting is so smart.
It's good. Like, oh, and also you played the clip and it reminded me, for the listeners at home who don't know Tyler Childers as yet, he's cute.
Yes. He's a cute little ginger.
He's got a great mustache.
His look, he was like kind of like thick and like long hair and facial hair, but now he's like meth head skinny and just like as like a crew cut, and like he pulls off both looks.
Yeah,
he's changed.
Get
but
you
it all
a man
works.
Who can do
exactly exactly.
The mustache is fantastic. I'm envious of it.
Oh yeah, the mustache era is good.
Wonderful mustache,
but it's not as good as Tyler Childers.
I was just talking to my partner the other day. I was like, I've had a mustache longer than I planned on.
Me too. You just get it one day.
It's been about a year.
Then.
Yeah.
It's been about a year now. And the thing is, like, you know, I don't like love mustaches. I just like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I look at old pictures of me without it. I'm like, I don't look that great. Like, the mustache like makes me look like kind of artsy or like something. Like,
absolutely.
What's going on with that person?
Yes. I think a mustache makes someone look like they appreciate jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the weirdest thing is, I don't know if it's been like blatantly obvious to you guys or not yet, but I'm trans femme, and there's like some weird feminine gender affirming thing about having a mustache.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Yes.
It's just like, I bet you wish.
Yes.
But, yeah, no. Cheers to Tyler Childers and to all the mustache ladies out there.
To the mustache, to the mustache ladies. You're the hottest of all of us.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about, quote, a redneck commentary on reincarnation.
That's all what it is. When I first read the title, I was like, Christianity, like born again Christian.
Yeah.
But maybe he's doing like a double entendre with it, right?
I think he sings
about Christianity. Some, I mean, his new album's like a gospel album. Oh. Like, it's just on God, God. It's just on God.
Yeah.
And it's good, you know. I mean, right? I don't know. In the DIY punk scene, I don't see a lot of bands singing about religion, whether they're condoning it or condemning it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to make a move towards that. And so revisiting his music has been helpful for that.
Yes.
The podcast is just getting, it's making me my best self. So thank you guys.
Is it the year of realizing things? To quote Kylie Jenner.
I think she was right. She's right. I think she was.
It's always the year of realizing.
Is she the one that did that Pepsi ad, by the way, back in the
No, that was the other one. She's the one with the
Kendall Jenner.
The lipstick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm looking at these lyrics here.
Tell me about it. What makes it reincarnation?
Well, my interpretation was like, he's the sort of first life that we experience in the song kind of takes up the majority of the lyricism, where it's just like, I'm a guy and I love you.
Very country. Okay.
Yeah.
We're hitting some strong
themes.
It's
like the name of a country album right there. I'm a guy and I love you.
But then like a little over halfway through, this guy who loves someone is like, till one day I've met my doom. Someone fucking eats it.
He took one in the boiler room.
And so now his soul returned to seed and come to earth again, clucking out a living as the favorite laying hen. This dude dies and he's reincarnated as a chicken.
That's literally, why I didn't get that.
Like lyrically, I think.
And come back to earth again, clucking out a living.
That is the chorus.
That is.
Yeah. But then the chicken dies.
And then what? Then he's the egg.
So the chicken did come first, is what we've
assessed. We finally have it confirmed.
Yeah.
You know, me and my fucking sociology and English studying in college brain is like, this is about like redneck culture, like it's like trashy until it's profitable. But like, I don't know, maybe he seems like he's smart, maybe he's singing that, but maybe it's literally about a chicken. I enjoy either interpretation.
That's just art, baby.
Yeah. It's a big buffet. There's something for everyone.
Yeah.
Can we listen to this guitar solo at 202?
Absolutely. Let's run it. Let me pull that schniz up.
That slide, baby. It's just so easy.
Yeah.
It's like, it's everything it needs to be, and it's not too much.
I want to, like, pour sweet tea and, like, sit on a porch and just go, bless
just
her
take,
heart.
It just takes its time.
You have no idea. I describe myself to people as somebody, when I'm introducing myself, I say, Yankee mindset, Southern appetite. Yeah. I'm all about the grits and biscuits and gravy and sweet tea. But you know,
100%.
I'm a trans commie, so
who loves grits
and mudding and rodeo. Yep.
Multifaceted individual.
Exactly. We all ought to be, you know, a little
no
more.
No one is a monolith.
A little more nuanced here.
Yeah.
It's just a joke, guys.
Oh,
A White House Road. Not about the White House. Just about partying on a road to a house that is white, I think.
Oh, is that why?
I
was
know.
Wondering if White House Road was like an actual road in Eastern Kentucky where he's from.
It might
Google
be.
Google it real quick.
Yeah, Google
I'm looking at a genius, but I don't know if I'm like doing it wrong.
Oh, God. When I just Google White House Road, it just comes up with a song.
Yeah. This is like the cool cowboy country, the musicality
yeah.
on this one.
It, this
like,
is
it
the
feels,
outlaw.
Yeah.
Outlaw vibe.
It is. It looks like it's a town in Kentucky. Mm. In like Eastern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Damn near West Virginia.
Yeah, the here's a good time to bring it up. The fun album art trivia. Do you guys know about the album art for this?
No.
No, tell me
it's
about
cool
it.
Looking.
It's so the colors are based off like a rock that is found if you mine in the Appalachian Mountains.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And the shape is like the county he's from. And it's literally The county is on the border of Kentucky and West Virginia. That's where he's from. I forget what it's called. I looked it up the other day because I knew I was coming on here.
That's super country. I like that a lot.
I forget what it was called. Wallace Country?
I'm going to check real quick. Is this the same mineral he kills a man for later in the album?
You know more about this album than I do.
He do be killing a man later because they dig and they find something.
They do find something very valuable.
Yeah. Can we just play a little of this to kind of get a vibe for where we're at musically?
Yeah, yeah. We haven't listened to a whole lot of this yet. It's a good album, listener. It's a good album.
Even if you're one of those people, and I have been one of those people who's like, country music. No, this one's really fun. Please listen.
Like I said earlier, is my gateway into like good modern country that's happening. There's a movement.
Yeah, there's Absolutely. None of those tropes that people shit on for country, which I think are fine to shit on. I think you can shit on some
there
of those tropes.
There is not
but
one
they
single,
don't exist in this album.
There isn't a single pickup truck appearance on this album.
No.
No Budweiser, no nothing.
Just a backhoe.
Just a backhoe.
The accent is not offensive. It's fine. It's charming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Get me higher than the grocery bill. Take my troubles to the high wall. Throw them in the river and get your bill. We've been sniffing that cocaine. Ain't nothing better when the wind cuts cold. Lord, it's a mighty hard living, but a damn good feeling to run these roads.
It gets you hyped.
Yeah. This is a hype. I think this might have also been a single from the album.
I can see that, yeah.
I believe that.
He's at least played it a lot, and I think still plays it a lot. But, yeah, it's hype. This was also one of the first few I heard. I don't know. I checked out a couple singles, and I was just like, well, this album sounds good, and I checked it out. But White House Road. And I've abused a fair share of drugs in my life. I was kind of going through it when I also found this album. And it was just like, I don't know. It was another one of those moments where it's like, I don't know. Country music was, I mean, I knew, but I never really cared to explore like the side of country that could be like this raw and honest. And there's even like a weird, I don't know. You know, actually, I'm going to check the genius thing real quick. Because he says a line, I think it's either in the first verse of the chorus, something about the women keeping his motor clean. And I'm like, is that like an old school, like sexual double entendre? Because that's like an AC/DC lyric too, right?
Is it?
From You Shook Me All Night Long. It is highlighted on Genius and it says, this is a suggestive metaphor in which the engine is the reproductive system. I knew it! I knew it! I swear to God, I did not look this up. Frequent ejaculation leads to a lower risk of prostate cancer. That's true.
Yeah.
As well as reduces the chance of nocturnal emissions. All right. I don't know. I've only listened to a couple episodes of Album Brews. I don't know how often semen gets brought up.
Enough.
But I would like to apologize just in case.
Enough that we could bring it up.
Although sometime Cameron cuts it out.
Yeah. Cameron and his delicate sensibilities.
I won't be upset either way. If this makes it or doesn't, you know.
That was a joke only for Cameron, and we're going to keep it in.
Cameron's like, wait, you guys can't talk about schmaltz.
They're talking about semen ball. She kept my motor clean.
That's a really good impression of him, actually. Yeah.
I can do it if there's one thing I can do.
But, like, it's really
ball. But, yeah, well, you know, what else is there to say about White House Road? I like the whatever. I don't know what it is. maybe you guys know the thing that's going like.
It's a jaw harp.
I thought it was a jaw harp.
I've got one. Cameron got it for me.
Cameron did get you a jaw harp.
Cameron, you're coming up a lot on the song. Between semen and jaw harps. Someone's jaw is working a lot. Yeah, the middle is just like tired jaw in the morning.
Yeah, pretty much.
It does make your jaw tired.
You know, this is just like a honky-tonk party song. You know, the album needed one. We've had too much good songwriting so far. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's some good, you know, metaphors and stuff happening here, but I think it's just about him, you know, being a degenerate.
It's actually about not himself being a degenerate. Did you guys read this Rolling Stones interview quote?
Tell me more. Tell us about now.
It was actually about, he was writing this and he was just thinking about, and this is a quote, "I was just thinking about this dude I worked with, his tales of flat out lies about how much of a wildcat he was, and just, so it's just his coworker friend who just like told stories. All these lies, yeah.
That's like, so funny. Yeah. Dude, see, that's like, that's one of those things that reminds me, like, there's no wrong way or no wrong thing to write a song about. You know?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Your coworker's lies, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Make a country party song about your coworker pretending to party. Just embellishing.
Which kind of gives it a different vibe in that paradigm, but it's still a great song.
Yeah.
This was another potential drink pairing that I texted Zach about, but I was very glad that we didn't have moonshine as
I almost went with it by mail. I was like, well, Kentucky Bourbon is probably like easier and cheaper to find, but yeah. I've never had moonshine. I've had it once, and weirdly enough,
it's not good.
You're not going to believe it. It was at a sushi restaurant.
What? Where?
They had like moonshine. And I was like, yeah, I'll try. It was like, I was like freshly 21 and like I was getting sushi with some friends and they had moonshine and someone ordered it. And I was like, I'm going to get that too. And that's the first and last time I had it. Well, first, I might have it. I'm only 26.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, and after hearing this album again, I might have it soon. But.
Get but, back to the root.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like, you know, Evan Williams probably, you know, they could find it anywhere. They go to CVS and find that.
I got it at Target.
There you go.
I got the ice cube tray for the round ice cubes.
Are those still cooked?
Still completely water. No. We are drinking boring ice cubes tonight.
Yeah, but you know, the vibes are there. The music is chilling us.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Something I guess that kind of spans across the whole album is like this really. And I know he does this with all of his releases, and I think since this album he's gone to indulge in it even more, is just really, really like leaning into using like folk and Appalachian country instrumentation.
Yeah.
He released a whole fiddle album and the jaw harp is in here and there's a lot of banjo. I mean there's a good banjo song coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that when we get to that.
Stick around.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's folky. It's what's the word Wikipedia calls it?
You know, that's weird.
Neo-traditional country.
When I think of folk music, I think of like, because I listen, like, okay, I said that most of the music I listen to does not sound like the music I write, and it's true. I'm not like the other girls. I listen to mostly, I mean, I'm wearing a shirt. I most listen to mostly like extreme death metal and black metal or rap or country. And I picked a country album for today, but when I think of folk, I think of like there's a lot of folk metals. Like folk, when you say folk metal, it's like whatever country they're from. It's like traditional. I don't know.
Hungarian.
What's a country? Yeah, traditional. I was trying to say Swedish. Like a traditional Swedish folk song. Put that with like atmosphere and like high pitched like metal screams, and that's like a Swedish folk black metal album.
Yeah.
But when you say folk music, I'm thinking like this kind of is folk because this guy's like really leaning into like Appalachian stereotypes, at least in terms of sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I know like he's said in interviews and stuff, he like intentionally does that. Like he's proud of where he's from, and I think it's cool. I mean,
yeah,
might as well embrace it. But the instrumentation on this album, for those who haven't heard it, is it's part of what makes it so textured and fun. You know, you're not expect like some kind of sound like just indie rock like folky songs, folky indie rock songs. And some are like, you literally feel like you got like a bluegrass CD from like a one-eyed moonshiner at like a gas station 4 hours outside of Charleston, West Virginia.
Like there could be shuffleboard in this. Yeah. There's not any, sadly, but there could be, and it would fit fine.
Like a washboard, a gut bucket bass.
Yeah.
I built one of those. I was in a folk punk band, the little jug. Side tangent. And yeah, my friend had a barrel, a stick, and like a string and made one.
That's fantastic.
It was. It was back before we had money for instruments. But yeah, no, it's part of what makes the album so textured, but at the same time, it definitely feels like it's one album. And this song is where they really like the mouth harp shine, and like the bass is chugging along. It's kind of got like that hip swaying, coming in from Smoking an American Spirit, going back into the square dancing bar to like get rejected by that country girl vibe.
When I saw the title of the next song, song number 6.
What do those words mean?
Well, when I saw the word banded Clovis, I don't know why, but for some reason, I was conflating Clovis with, like, Cletus. I thought it was just, like, some...
I don't know what that is or where to find it. Where do you find the Cletus?
No.
It sounds fake.
I thought it was just some, like, country dude's name.
Oh. Like, yeah, it kind of does. It does. It is a Cletus type.
Yeah, I can see that.
So for the people,
the prospector Cletus. What is about prospecting?
Yes. For the people listening along at home, this is kind of like a fun little story about two folks going into the mountains,
finding shit.
They're sifting and they're digging.
I like this character.
Thank you.
This one does seem like there's a character like.
Oh, absolutely. This one I would say is like the one that feels most like a campfire story.
Yeah.
You like go camping with someone who has a guitar and they're like, sit down. Let me tell you a story about the band at Clovis.
And I think like, that's literally what this song is. Yeah.
Totally. So Clovis, for those of us like myself who were not familiar, refers to like an ancient civilization and a sort of subset of the population who lived in Appalachia, who you might like dig up like an arrowhead or a spearhead of theirs while sifting through the dirt.
That's what the song is about.
Looking for gold.
It definitely feels like a campfire story because the first lyric is like someone's name.
Yeah.
He's bringing up like this banded, what is banded Clovis?
Clovis is the term for indigenous artifacts, right? Or no?
Well, it's sort of like a classification
of
you could say like this is an ancient Greek whatever, or you could say this is from like the banded just refers to like you know when you see like sandstone and it has like lines in it, like that's banded.
That makes sense. And it is indigenous people in this song because they are in the foothills of Appalachia as usual. But yeah, they say a nameless protagonist. They introduce this nameless person looking through this banded Clovis in Appalachian mountains. Tina is his wife, and that's all that's mentioned. But it's like that kind of campfire storytelling vibe.
Yeah.
I will say this is the second of two songs that I don't have saved on Spotify from this album. But
it's a good story, but it does leave something to be desired, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, it's a good song, but like he's been like rocking and like his voice kills on like a lot of these songs, and this one's just like all right, you know. I don't know how often people throw shade at some songs on this podcast. Yeah.
Sarah one time called the song by Jeff Tweedy, the award ringing songwriter that I love with all my heart, a dingleberry. She called one of the songs a dingleberry.
Oh well, that's much worse than what I'm saying. I'm saying this one is just it's like a little bit better than mid.
You're allowed to do that. That's fine.
It's fine.
Valid.
Yeah. It's fine, you know. But for Tyler, you know, he set a high bar, and for me, he didn't quite hit it on this one. But you know, it's still a nice campfire story of rummaging through the mountains for evidence of indigenous people that live there. And in the Genius annotation, it does say that it was junkies, which is funny because this also plays into like that kind of like impoverished rural person thing.
Just assume they're junkies.
It's like sad, but also kind of funny. It was like these junkies are probably looking for something to pawn, but they stumble across like priceless
Yeah.
Native American artifacts. And
Yeah, well, that ends up kind of tying into... I agree with you. I think this song is, like, the most interesting part of this song is the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, it's, like, these two dudes, and they're going through the mountains, and they stumble upon something that is worth, like, thousands upon thousands of dollars. And one of them shoots the other in cold blood.
Yeah.
To take this thing and sell it for pills.
This is literally like a Western movie, but it's in the East.
Yeah.
Eastern United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, musically, the only thing that this song really does for me is it's kind of cool that it's in 3/4 and it's kind of got like that old country, like, he's like bouncing while he's, I just picture him like swaying at a campfire. Yeah. I mean, if I were to play the song, that's how I would do it.
Shine a flashlight underneath your chin. Exactly. Gather around.
Exactly. Yeah.
You guys heard about the band of cloves.
Yeah. Y'all heard.
Somebody died over this shit.
Zach, do you have anything about this song or should we skedaddle to the title track?
We absolutely should skedaddle.
I'm very excited to talk about this purgatory. Title track.
Purgatory.
Here we are. This is the title track.
This is some good bluegrass. Yeah, some good folk vibes.
And we know now from this point on that Ryan has included this as part of their saved library on Spotify.
Yeah.
It's true.
Not only that, not only that, this is one of my favorite songs on the album.
Yeah!
The title track, you know, it's a banger. It's such a banger.
Yes.
He fully leans into that Eastern Kentucky Appalachian sound. And I don't know. I mean, after I said earlier in the podcast, like, this was kind of the album that got me into country as an adult and into searching my own, I don't know, like, good artists that I actually like, unironically.
Yeah.
Because there are some ironic country.
That's allowed.
I love Luke Bryan.
Exactly.
I've said this on the podcast before. A Little Bit Country Fried is a great song.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is a good song.
Like, that's a good song.
But
I'll say that.
This one is, like... full, like, it's banjo solo, mandolin solo, guitar solo, and
let's play some. I'm swing dancing in my chair.
We play for me on the roots of the oak.
What a great reoccurring little chorus, little
that Catholic girl pray for me, yeah. I'm only hope for heaven.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, this song, probably more than anything on the album, I have a lot to say about. The Catholic girl thing is, I saw from some, it wasn't even an interview, it was him like doing, you know, I like, this is more of a folk thing overall. I kind of like that kind of acoustic vibe where the singer-songwriter vibe, I guess. Where they, I don't know, I sometimes, you know, I get flack for my bandmates for talking too much on stage. And I, you know, sometimes it works, but sometimes I get what they're saying because, you know, it's like a punk show or metal show or like R&B. I don't know.
We play with a lot of styles. Your stage presence, if that's any
consolation. I usually get that and I'm like, it's very affirming.
Yeah.
Like, well, you guys are actually wrong. I did a field study on this and you guys are actually statistically wrong.
I did some market research.
Yeah, market research.
That's a phrase I was looking for.
Two podcasters told you it was good.
Two people who love to hear themselves talk.
Right. Don't look into it too much.
Yeah.
But with, it's like more of an acceptable thing in that singer songwriter. You got to tell them what it's about.
Sure.
And so Tyler was introducing this song in some like country as fuck. It was like a whiskey refinery like session. I don't, like a lot of like there's this other country artist I got into because of Tyler because they toured together called Coulter Wall. Oh my god. You guys got to check him out after this. In fact, just play a snippet of him here if you want. He's just so good. He's got like an old, his voice, he's like 20, or he started, like his songs came out when he's like 21. And he sings like a 70-year-old man that's been in jail and smoking cigarettes like every hour his whole life.
Soul.
Yeah, it's just deep and painful and good. A lot of the artists that I like in the country vein, like these unironic, like people that are kind of, And it's not just me. There's like a lot of people that are into this new wave, and a lot of them are from Appalachia, although this guy's from Canada. But whatever. They're like doing real country or like saving country. Yeah, the neo-traditional. They're like kind of doing it. It's kind of like the like good reactionary movement to like the stadium Nashville rock or pop, actually. And like a lot of their live sessions are always like filmed in breweries or like whiskey distilleries. And anyway, Tyler's playing one and he's introing the song and he's like talking about just telling the story. He's like, he was like 18, had a crush on like this 25-year-old Catholic girl that lived in Ohio. And
classic,
yeah. And like the thing is, like, what's that's like a 7-year age gap, and you know, at like a more advanced age, that's not a big deal. But like at that age, I think a lot of the song he said was like about that retrospect of being young and being into a, you know, for the time a considerably, or for the age a considerably older lady, and just thinking like how he said like when they first broke up. He's like, how dare she do this to me? Like, how could this happen? Like, I thought like she was the one that was going to last forever. But upon like a sober Tyler. Light of day reflection, yeah. when he was about 25, like being like, how did she, like, why did she even? And I think that's, that's the song. Great. I think he said the song isn't for her. It's for me when he was introducing it. But it was like he said, because he grew up Baptist, as a lot of people do in rural Eastern Kentucky. And a lot of rural areas. It was like his first time being around a lot of Catholic people, and he learned about the concept of purgatory, which I don't think is really, you know, taught, like touched upon in Baptist denominations.
A lot of Protestant stuff doesn't teach it. It's mostly just Catholic.
And so that's why he's like, you know, purgatory sounds good. Like, it's not hell, but like, because I'm not going to heaven. As you might have heard from all these other lyrics. Yeah. Pray for me. You're my only hope for heaven. If not, I'll chill out in purgatory, because we've been doing that cocaine. We've been getting our motor cleaned.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take one. I don't want to say one more because we might have to pee after.
Someone.
But I certainly have to pee.
Sure.
Right now.
The only other thing I have to say about Purgatory, there's a riff where there's like a little, like 2-second guitar solo. It's like a bluegrass run in the key of G, and I sound check it with it every single gig. I sound check with it. Because it wasn't this guy alone. There's actually another country artist I like. More bluegrass artist. I also might be from Eastern Kentucky, called Billy Strings. He's also kind of getting some notoriety now just because he's really good at like acoustic bluegrass guitar. And those Tyler and Billy Strings got me into bluegrass guitar. And so when I don't know what to do for sound check, I'm like, let me do a bluegrass run.
That's so good. Like you came for the to vibe see, of your
like,
show.
Yeah, you came like to see like an indie/R&B/death metal band. Why don't I throw you through one more loop in sound check with a bunch of like country and bluegrass? Right here.
That's a great riff.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, that's like introduction to bluegrass soloing, and I learned how to do it because I wanted to do more of it, and I haven't really, you know, built up past that, but I learned how to play that riff, and it feels really good to sound check with it.
I bet it
I'm
does.
I'm impressed by that. That seems very tricky to play. You need some nimble.
Yeah, it's not easy. It was another thing that made me appreciate the genre. It's like, damn, these people are out here wilding on the acoustic guitar.
Limber for real.
What does the sound guy look like when you do that?
I don't mean they're just like it's just like another Tuesday to them. Is it loud enough, asshole?
yeah
That's all I got to say about that song. That is definitely one to check out from the album. Maybe not the first one, but I love it.
Yeah, yes. It's in the top five for sure.
Yep.
Honky Tonk Flame is not in my top five.
You don't like this one?
It's a little slow.
It is, but I do enjoy this one thoroughly.
It gets pretty hard at like 3:30, but what do you guys feel about the first half of the song?
The last three tracks of this album feel like you're falling in love.
Gross.
With a beautiful girl.
Oh, well, that last song is... That song's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
But this one's more... I mean, I obviously relate to this one as like a musician. Like trying. There's like a lot of people... Okay, I don't know. This is going to go on like some separate-ass tangent here. And this is going to like be reveal some potentially embarrassing part of my psychology.
I think you have to now.
Well, I'm going to.
We've got Evan Williams, Modelo, and whatever the fuck beer Zach pulled in front of us.
But, so, I don't know. Like, I know, I mean, I've been doing music for 13 years, and I met a lot of people who are like, oh, like, I don't know. Like, oh, yeah, you like my album? Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, like, it kind of sucks. And, like, I mean, I get like you put out an album and there's things you wish you could have done differently, or to the point where it's like self-deprecating that almost feels like fishing for compliments. And you know, I've been there before. Like I've been doing this for 13 years. I started my first band when I was 13, so like I've been through some cringy ass shit. But at this point now, we're like him chasing that honky tonk flame. You know, I'm not chasing a honky tonk flame. I'm not in the country scene. But like, I like the song just because it's kind of about like an area where I'm at right now, where I very much so would like to do music for a living. I don't. I work in insurance. but you know, people every now and then are singing our lyrics. I'm like starting to see some traction. I'm like, this is nice. And even if it never goes anywhere, it's still nice to have met a lot of nice people like you guys and all the people I met in the bands. And it's been a fun experience, but I'm getting to this point where it's meaning a little less to me than it used to. And like his whole thing, the first half of the song is like chasing that honky tonk flame, like playing dive bars and just getting drunk and playing my songs like hours and hours and states away from the people I love and know. And I've been there and about to be there, catch background character on tour this fall.
Absolutely.
But the last verse is just about like, I fell in love and it turns out that like love and like building towards like a holistic self and feeling cared about and finding purpose that's not just like self-serving or like community serving is just like, there's a line like, the love of a woman that loves me is all I need. And it's corny and on the nose. You know, I fell in love recently. Yeah. Shout out to Emily Capers. I love you. And you know, it's and outside of even just my relationship, like I'm a person, and there's other things I'm working on, and it's good to step away from the honky tonk flame every now and then.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the song, he kind of realizes that, and so that's why this song hits for me. And it's also kind of like musically, like a it is slow. But, you know, the last song was a fast, like, bluegrass. Take it
back. This is in my top five now. Yeah. You've convinced me.
I'm not even out to, but I'm glad I did. But, like, it's a nice follow-up. It's the last song was, like, the fast, like, banjo solo, fiddle solo, guitar solo, like, fast bluegrass jaunt. And it's awesome. But then this one's, like, a nice chaser, you know? And, you know, speaking of chaser, I'm going to switch to beer.
Can we talk about 330 for a fun second?
I would love to. Yeah, you mentioned that earlier.
How hard it goes at the end of the song. The slowness kind of builds up to this cool moment. And I kind of wish there is a little more of it in the album, but it's great. It's a good little splash.
Yeah, they're going off.
It's nice. It's good.
Yeah,
they're cooking.
There's some sounds there that are really nice and kind of like a little harder to listen to than most country music, right? Most country music is very like perfect sounds.
Yeah,
right?
And this is like you hear the bow scraping.
Yeah, there's some nuance there that's a little like, ooh.
Weirdly, it might just be because I'm buzzed, but that little segment reminded me of. When I was 20 and I got stoned and I listened to Miles Davis, the first time I quote unquote got what jazz was about.
As one does when they're 20 like, and stoned.
Yeah, it's cool, but you know, after a while it gets boring. But then like I was 20 and stoned
of
and
course.
I was listening to Kind of Blue, iconic, you know.
Yeah. Oh
man. Yeah,
did
like
you get
cliche
kind of blue?
But yeah, I got kind of like freaking jazzed because I was like, oh, I get it now. Like these people are just like expressing like raw emotion just through the instrument. And like I hear it coming through on that fiddle and on the drums and stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of feeling.
So this is flirting with jazz mindset, but with country.
It's a universal sound.
Okay. The next song, sonically, in my opinion.
Reverb on a country song.
The biggest departure. The whole fucking album.
I think this was like the single.
Is that true?
It was a single at least.
Because the beginning of it sounds like something from like the fucking postal service.
Yeah.
Like,
it's different.
I was like, are they allowed to put this much reverb on a country album?
Yeah.
Other than the pedal steel guitar?
Yeah.
I want to play. Okay, so we like just heard this fiddly ass, guitar ass, like
outro.
Yeah, outro from this previous song. I want to play just the beginning of the next one because it is so different.
It's good. Yeah, let the listener know.
In a way that I really enjoyed.
Pocahontas in the cranberry glades. Ain't got bars nor the charge to call her anyways. My mind's a mile a minute.
Is that delay? Is delay the correct word?
It's good. Yeah, it's a delay.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it. I had to think. Here's the thing. Like, for someone who has been doing music for 13 years, I have an embarrassingly limited knowledge of effects and music theory. I don't want all the guitar nerds
to be like, hey, that's delay, not reverb.
But no, it, there was a little delay on my response. but I'm pretty sure that was a delay pedal. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Because I have one. That's the only reason I know.
Very good sound for the song. It's...
Yeah.
It works. And you know what? I didn't until, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm vibing with people who care about this album. None of my friends like country. You're the first people I've gotten to talk to excitedly about this album, except maybe my brother kind of likes it a little.
Sure.
But I'm starting to see why this was a single. You know, it's like daring, but it's not like, you know, crazy. And it's good. It's a good sound. It's the universal sound.
the universal sound.
But I'd like to hear more of your thoughts on it, because all I know is it's a single and that it's just kind of about like being in touch with nature, because that exists everywhere. That's the universal sound. It's like an escape from anxiety, but that's all I really...
It's kind of spiritual for a country tune.
Yeah. I feel like it's just something about it sonically feels so like... the soundtrack to something. Like,
sure.
Yeah. To driving through the woods.
Yeah.
Someone's got a boombox over their head.
To showing up at your partner's house to tell them a big revelation.
The last stitch ever.
Showing up at the big game to score the winning goal. It just feels very cinematic, this song.
And I like that you show it as like the last effort to win your lover, the last play of the game to win the game, because it's literally the second to last song. That works too.
Yeah.
And I mentioned earlier that sort of the last three songs of this album kind of feel like this love song. So we haven't touched on this yet, but our dear sweet angel Tyler Childers is married and expecting a child right now.
Oh, Tyler. Congratulations, buddy.
Congratulations. And the last three songs, I just sort of picked up on this really gorgeous, like, loving vibe. And there were some really beautiful lyrics in this song where it sort of seems like you're away from home, you don't have service, maybe you're on tour, you're missing the people who mean the most to you, including, like, the person you share a bed with at night. And, the lyric that... stabs me in the heart.
I'm looking through them.
I pray the stars will shoot her all the wishes she can hold.
So nice.
Oh, bitch!
Because they're shooting stars.
That's good.
It's just, I think I've said this before in this recording, but some of his lyrics are just so kind.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're wholesome. They're like a nice southern meal.
Yes. His lyrics are biscuits and gravy.
Absolutely.
I feel it on my arteries, and I'm happy that it's there.
They're warm.
I'm glad you get that vibe. I do too. When's the last time y'all like went out in nature and like really kind of got lost in it?
Oh, it's too been long. A second. It's been too long. I would say the last experience I had is probably like close to Zach's place, the Labaw Woods.
Chicago. I go there a lot. That's cool.
Yeah. Mm. That's like...
it's a great city park.
In August, I was having that feeling I mentioned earlier of that city burnout. I was catering too much to the country girl and I was the city girl and I was ignoring the country boy in me.
Yeah.
And my only idea for vacation, I get like, I don't know, just a couple weeks PTO and I use most of it for touring. But I had like one little thing vacation I want to take my partner on because I kind of wanted to stunt.
Yeah.
Like, vacation.
Love that.
But my only thought for it at first was like, let's get lost in nature. And so we went to a provincial park like 3 hours north of Toronto. And it, no cell service and like shit Wi-Fi. And it was just, yeah. My life is fucking so fucking stressful. Have you guys seen the movie Whiplash?
Yes!
Well, do you know that scene where he's late? He like forgets his sticks for the concert and he goes back and is like racing back with his sticks and he gets hit by the car?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Whenever anyone asks how I'm doing, you feel like you're about to... I just say my life feels like that scene where you're racing to a concert you're late for with something you forgot but you grabbed and then you get hit by a car. You crawl out of the wreckage, likely with limbs broken.
So the guy from Spider-Man doesn't yell at you?
Yeah. You go do it. Like, between like the three bands and the working full time and like friendships, relationships, man. Like it just weighs on. And like, I'm answering endless fucking emails, professional, personal,
podcast guest hosting,
podcast freaking album reviews, don't leave me alone.
We've been blowing you up.
And so I need it. I really needed it. And looking back, it kind of feels like this song. So if you need a break from your life or your anxieties, no matter where you live or what you do, check out Universal Sound. I mean, it was a single for this album, so maybe it'll get you into it, especially if you're not in the country, because it doesn't really sound that country.
Too country.
Kind of more of that folk indie vibe again.
Take a break. Take some time. Listen to this track, Universal Sound. We work more hours than serfs did in like medieval Europe.
I saw that. Dude, I'm a history nerd too. I'm a history nerd, and I like looked up. There was like medieval serfs like worked, like it was not fun. They worked like a shit ton. But only until they like made the rations they needed to for the year, and then the rest of the year
they just had festivals and parties and hung off, out.
Dude, it's like, you're not constantly meeting the deadline. No. You're not like constantly producing value and having your labor exploited.
Yeah.
You just do what you need to do to survive.
So take care of yourselves out there. Yeah, listen to music and go into nature.
Go touch some grass.
Yeah, go touch some grass.
Actually, it's a meme, but like it's good for you for real, actually.
Yeah.
Left-wing people advocating for a return to serfdom.
That is comedy.
I went to the Renaissance Fair and I was like, yo, wait.
Wait.
Okay, but...
Okay.
Lady, may I ask that we go to the next song?
Let's take it home with some love.
Yeah, this is the love song.
Oh my goodness.
And it's live, which is even sweeter.
This was just like a live take for the album?
Uh-huh.
Did you
Yeah, I can see that.
Our sweet angel Tyler Childers did an NPR Tiny Desk.
No.
I did see that.
And the conclusion of Tyler Childers' Tiny Desk was Lady May.
And it's about his wife, Sonora May.
My God. And he's performing this song, and it's, you just feel it. You feel it watching this performance, that he is envisioning this person. He is singing to her. Like, it is so lovely.
That's so sweet.
It is so lovely. What we'll get stand-up into guy. It.
I mean, there's a lot of metaphors in this song that just, like, break my heart.
Yeah.
But also put a bandage on it and kiss it.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't the strongest hickory that your hands have ever felt, but I'm hickory just as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, love is accepting the flaws of a person, too. And damn. Damn, what a beautiful country-ass way to say it.
It's so sweet. And that metaphor goes through the whole stanza.
It goes,
cut my roots away.
There's, like, another one, too. What is, like, I ain't the... Like each stanza has like
the
kinda...
sharpest chisel.
Yeah,
that
the
your
sharpest
hands have
chisel.
Ever held, but darling, I could love you well. Aww.
And like musically too. Like the thing is, like lyrics is one thing, but like I don't know. It might have to do with the fact that it's just a guy and a guitar, and it's a live take.
Mm-hmm.
But the chords he picks, the way he delivers it—so
intimate and so earnest. And
it's like I feel like I'm seeing something that's supposed to, but like in a good way. Like he knows we're seeing something we're not supposed to, and that's what makes it so emotional.
Yeah, and also like
he's like you voyeurs.
On a couple other parts of this album we've been shown like the tattoo gravestone and like other relationships, situationships that haven't been long term, and to conclude with this really beautiful
for his wife
loving tribute. We're recording this on October 7th 2022. They are still together. Sonora May, Lady May is
no gravestone
expecting
tattoo.
Their first child together. Like, it's just this really beautiful,
I don't know, like, satisfying conclusion to this album.
Well, you know what makes it even more, like, painfully sweet is that the next album, the album after this, is called Country Squire, and that album is, like, all about him fixing up a country squire, which is kind of like another word for, like, mobile home. For him and his wife to move into, and
God
they did.
Damn
and
it.
They did, and they do.
That is so sweet.
Spoiler alert, it works out perfectly.
Spoiler alert, I love they're that. A good match.
And yeah, and it's just like, I don't know, like, this is that kind of like, I hope people's lives are as blessed as mine, where they can relate to this feeling of where you, that first moment where you kind of realize you like love somebody, and it's kind of like this scary kind of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And this, like, extremely, like, blessed optimism, like, that, those feelings are just, like, captured in this song. I don't know. You might want to play a little clip of it. It's just
play some of it. Yeah.
So sweet, and I feel like it handles both of those. It's just, like, it's scary, and it's like, this is all I got. I'm not the sharpest chisel. I'm not the strongest oak or whatever the fuck. But, like, but I think I love you, and I think you love me, and
he's that, just that's, so happy and
that's
sweet
like
about
the,
it.
That's, like,
so
the peak of life.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's just painfully beautiful.
Put your toes down in the water and a smile across your face and tell me that you love me, lovely Lady May. Now I hate the sharpest chisel that your hands have ever held, but darling, I could love you well till the roll is called on high. I've seen my share of trouble and I've held my weight in shame, but I'm baptized in your name, love.
He like sounds like he's almost like puking, he's or like breathless. Almost crying. Yeah, he's like at the end of May, of Lady May. It's like, dang.
I want someone to love me like Tyler Childs.
Literally in my notes.
Yet again,
this
me and
episode,
who?
Yes! I was like, me and who? This is the sweetest thing in the whole entire world.
Yeah.
I would also like to play a little bit. So, fun fact, Sonora May. Tyler's partner, they're married, they're expecting a child. Mm-hmm. She is also a singer and songwriter mm-hmm. who writes really lovely music. I'd like to play a little bit.
Yeah,
sure. I haven't
flowers.
Checked it out yet. Yeah.
It's delicious.
No, I'm sure he would love that shout out too.
Yeah.
The lovely couple is for you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they've toured together, but if they would, your girl would be buying a front row ticket.
Can I tell you how they broke the news that they were having a child together?
Sure. I don't know any of this stuff. This is cool.
I did my deep diving.
Yes.
So at a Sonora May show, this was in April of 2022, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And she's on stage. She's playing a set. And at one point, she goes, like, let me let my baby daddy finish the set.
Aww.
And she brings our boy
and
Tyler.
That's how they did it.
See,
and
you know,
he finishes with, he played a couple, like, solo songs, but I think he concluded with Lady May.
Aww. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
See, this is, like, one of those things where it's, like, this is, like, why it feels like real country to me. Because it's, like, these are just, like, two random, like, former tweakers from,
yes!
like, East Kentucky that just, like, genuinely have, like, they're just real people that have had ups and downs. And they found love and they found success. And, like, I don't know. It doesn't really seem like they're getting to their head. Like, they're just wholesome. They're having a family. His new album's like an experimental triple EP. Oh, and it's just like,
I want to listen to that so bad.
And it's like, I don't know. The reason, a part of another reason I wanted to pick a different sounding album, like, I wanted a different sound from us, but like, part of the reason I landed on this one is just because, like, part of the reason Background Character is so neurotic and takes from so different things is because, like, I hope that everybody can find inspiration for anyone, especially from people who they don't really think they would.
Yeah.
You wouldn't really think like leftist, big, urbanized, like punk bands would be taking influence from like super, super gooey sweethearts from Eastern Kentucky. Yeah. But like, I love the country, grew up in it. And like, I don't know. I might be a little too open-minded, but it hasn't steered me wrong so far. Yeah. And it's just the thing. It's like, I don't know. Like, a lot of people like shit on. I think a lot of people just close themselves off to things that they shouldn't. I don't know. Just in general, even outside of music, it's worth checking everything out, because even if it sucks or is problematic, you'd be like, well, now I know.
But you're widening your lexicon regardless.
I don't know. But there's just like people that are like, they'll like cut people out of their lives because they're different in some way. And like, obviously there's like problematic, terrible things that are unforgivable, but like, it's still, at least for me in my life, and granted, I was raised a white male in the country. So I have a good amount of privilege. You like, every perspective you can at least use to better understand your own. And I don't know, maybe I'm getting too heady for album reviews, but I don't think so. And I just think, like, I don't know, listen to a country album, listen to like a 90s like gangster rap album. I don't know, fuck it, there's more than just like punk rock and indie out there for those people, and I'm sure they know.
Yeah, that's one thing that opening up guests to this podcast has kind of opened up a paradigm for me, is like, if this type of music brings value to one person, then this music has value.
Yes.
Because I used to shit on country. I used to shit on these types of genres. But I'm like, no, like, if it's valuable to someone, to some group of people, then there might be value in it.
Yeah. Me too. You just got to recognize that. Like, I don't, there's like, don't you guys have like those painfully like real human moments where you realize like, even as people who are nothing like me, I don't understand, like, there's still something we share.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like a kind of cosmic human level.
That's going home for Thanksgiving. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I guess it's three country bumpkins, so it's not really that hard for us to relate to this. But I don't know. I mean, we almost picked an Earl Sweatshirt album for this, and that album hits me just as hard. So,
well, I think there's, I think that there's value there. I think that regardless of the Spotify genre that you would pick to describe an album, like, across genres, you're going to find a core, like, vulnerable human experience. Yeah. And I think that's why, part of the reason why I'm very grateful for this podcast and, you know, opening myself up to other people introducing things to me. But, like, regardless of the type of music that it is, quote unquote, there's always going to be something that you relate to. There's always going to be a human experience, and there's always value there. I think that there really is power in hearing out something that you may have written off if it's not completely egregious to your own personal beliefs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Damn, this is a really fun episode. I mean, did you guys put Molly in this Evan Williams? Like, I feel so emotionally connected. Like, wow.
That's just Tyler Childs,
should we
baby.
Cuddle? Should we cuddle?
That's just Tyler Childs doing that to us.
Yeah.
not even.
We're drinking the drink of his land, too, so.
We're actually going to go knit a sweater after this with six armholes and go lay down in Zach's bed. And
with Roscoe the dog. Shout out to Roscoe.
Oh, he will be with a spoon and be so happy about it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, okay.
This is quite an emotional journey. I mean, I hope the listener's having fun, too. Shout out to you.
Oh, we love you. Okay, so we've reached the end of this episode. It is time to award this album a Rebrewski. Let's take a second off air and
formulate some thoughts. Give Roscoe some love, and you can probably hear him whining.
Yes. I just heard him like kick a door. I think.
Yeah, he's upset.
He's big and strong.
He heard the spooning bit and he's out.
He's like, y'all, without me?
Yeah, am I in there? What? Quick pause. And the moment all of you have been waiting for, the Rebrewski for tonight's episode goes to, drumroll please, Cameron and y'all, Tyler Childers for the album Purgatory. And the Rebrewski is, the son of a coal miner that I would most want to kiss on the lips. Congrats.
Folks, thank you so much for listening. We are Album Rebrews, and we will continue to be Album Rebrews. If you want to check us out on Twitter or Instagram, it is at Album Rebrews. Or if you want to take a look at our website, it is www.albumrebrews.com.
A giant thank you to Cameron Bopp for editing our show and writing our theme song. Check out Cam at Cam Bopp on Twitter and hire him to write your next song for your podcast and or songwriting needs.
That is very accurate.
A giant thank you to you, the listener, for hanging out with us this long. 53 episodes in. We love it. We love you.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Share, you guys are getting over the hill here.
Share the show with your friends. If you've got a big nerdy friend, tell them about the show if they don't know about it yet.
Also, we are popular enough on Spotify that we have started showing a star rating for our podcast, and I think one person gave us 4 stars.
Because we got a 4.7.
We're sitting at a 4.7. Jesus Christ, if you've made it this far, just quick give us a rating.
That was me. Sorry.
5 stars.
A giant thank you to Ryan Kilbasa of Background Character. Check out their band on Spotify, on Bandcamp, on the internet, on Instagram at Background Character Band. They are going to be getting back from a tour by the time this comes out. So,
yeah, Ryan, how do you think this tour went now that you're on the other side of it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, our second album is called I Can See the Future.
Yeah.
So I'll be able to tell you guys right now, as of October 7th, 2022, how the tour is going to go. You know, many things I could say. Many, many things I could say. But really, one word sums it up. I'm fucking sick.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for coming to the shows, everybody. We have one more show on November 14th at Sleeping Village in Chicago. We will be taking a indefinite break from shows to work on our third album, which is called Gorgeous. And speaking of tattoos, I have the album cover tattooed on my stomach. I tattooed my album on my stomach. Check us out on social media at Background Character Band. And, you know, I love you. Yeah, thanks for coming along the ride. Thanks to Album Rebrews for having me on. Y'all are lovely people. Keep checking out the podcast. Keep checking out me. Yeah, have a good time. Drink some bourbon. Tell the people that you love them, because, you know, time is, it moves quickly, and, you know, as a matter of physics, it moves faster each day.
Yes.
Shout out to Roscoe the dog. He's coming up over
Shout
here.
Shout out to Roscoe the dog.
Hi, buddy.
Okay, so to end the podcast, Roscoe, if you want to participate, you're welcome. In the order that we introduced ourselves, we're going to get very close to the mic in ASMR style, say goodbye to the people listening.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
God dang it, thank you very much for listening, Album Brews. And if you ain't right, I don't want you to listen to this podcast, but if you are right, well, God dang it, check out Album Brews and check out, what's this band? Background Character. Sounds like a bunch of f***ets. Thank you all, and good night. My name is Jennifer Tillity, and safe travels.